Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. If you are a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast, you know that we are in the second epistle of John. You know that it is a short book. If it were not one of the 27 books of the New Testament, we might be tempted not even to call it a book. But it is indeed one of the 27 books of the New Testament, but one of the shortest. It is only 13 verses, and it's a letter. It's an epistle, but it's a short one compared to most of the others in the New Testament. In fact, its shortness is only exceeded by the third epistle of John, which actually by word count is a little bit shorter still. But this epistle of only 13 verses has a body, a content of only, well, let's see, verses 4 through 11. That would be what? About 9 verses? Let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 verses that constitute the entire body of the epistle. And the first 3 of those are commendatory, where John commends them for walking in truth and reminds them about keeping the commandment to love one another, and even helps to remind them what love looks like, how it is defined, how it should be understood. But he gets really into the heart of his burden for them in verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. 5 verses that contain the main message of this book. And the first one, verse 7, we have examined in pretty great detail. I don't need to tell you if you are a regular listener. But now we're ready to move on because there are many more things to talk about. And what we're getting into today and tomorrow and in the next few days is information about false teachers that you will not find anywhere else in the New Testament. You'll find many other warnings about false teachers, and that's why we need to recognize how important this subject is. But this one contains some teaching that I don't think you'll find any place else, certainly not in this form, and maybe not even in this emphasis. So keeping that in mind, let's get started on this Thursday, May 16, and we are able to do it because some of our radio listeners help us with the cost. All right, so John, who has written to the elect lady and her children, that we take to mean a particular local church and its members, writes about 4 dangers. Verse 7, the danger of many deceivers who proclaim a false message about Christ. Number 2, verse 8, the danger of losing heavenly rewards. Number 3, verse 9, the danger of missing heaven altogether. And number 4, verses 10 and 11, the danger of unwittingly participating in another's evil deeds. That's pretty important that we understand these things. And so false teachers proclaiming counterfeit messages about Christ demand, require, the constant vigilance of God's people. And here's what John says in verse 8, look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. A word of caution that begins with a serious command: look to yourselves. Now, this relates to what he has already told us about in verse 7 about deceivers, and so I read them together. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we receive a full reward. Because of the deceptive nature of these false teachers, we have to be careful, or we will be affected in perhaps a surprising way. Look to yourselves. The presence of the false teachers requires honest self-examination. It is a present imperative. It requires constant watchfulness, constant guard. Be looking to yourselves. Yes, continue to look to yourselves. Yes, always be looking to yourselves to guard against self-deception in regard to sound doctrine, to guard against the destruction of truth in your mind and in your family and in your church. Yes, look to yourselves. And there's a twofold reason why we need to do this. It is because the truth can be lost on the one hand, and it is because rewards can be lost on the other hand. And that is what I do not find in any of the other passages in the New Testament that warn us against false teachers. This connection between the work of false teachers affecting the rewards of God's people. That is a new thought altogether. So look to yourselves. That, he goes on to say, we do not lose the things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Now, in this particular case, this change from look to yourselves, John talking to his readers, and then the switch to the personal pronoun we, the first person personal pronoun in the plural, we. So he starts out talking to you, second person, plural, look to yourselves, and then the switch to that we may not lose the things that we have worked for. I do need to say that there are variations of manuscript on that particular phrase. So some say we and some say you, but it is, in my Bible, it follows the manuscript form that changes the pronoun. And so John starts out talking about you and looking to yourselves, but then when he talks about the possibility of losing rewards, he even includes himself in that. This is such a genuine danger that even, apparently, the Apostle John could lose rewards if he does not maintain vigilance. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You'd better look to yourselves. And the first thing that we need to be careful about is that we do not lose the truth. When it says, do not lose the things that we worked for, it sounds at first glance like it's talking about the rewards, that the things that we have worked for are our rewards. Do not lose the things that we have worked for, but that we receive a full reward. But I think a closer examination tells us another story. Do not lose the things that we have worked for. John is talking about the labors of God's people for the cause of Christ in the wider Christian community. The work of the gospel, the truth that has been declared, the people that have come to Christ, the churches that have been established, can be damaged or destroyed by false doctrine. look to yourselves that we don't lose those things that we have worked for, that gospel progress be not lost, that your labors and the labors of others be not destroyed. As we know, in many cases, that's exactly what has happened. And this may be why John includes himself at this point, because that's what he's been doing. He's been laboring for decades to proclaim the gospel. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He has gone out into all the world to make disciples of all nations. He has been faithfully preaching the word of God, faithfully pointing men to Christ, and by the work of God's Spirit, seeing success in evangelism, faithfully establishing churches, congregations of God's people, wherever people have been saved. He has been laboring all of his life to strengthen those churches, to encourage them, to help them, to deepen their hold upon Christian truth and their effectiveness in the community where they reside, to become outposts of truth and evangelism, that others may come to know the Lord. John is, even now, with his last days from his headquarters in the city of Ephesus, traveling out to these churches, helping them to remain strong, writing to these churches, as the first epistle of John and the second epistle of John and the third epistle of John fall into this category. He has been laboring hard for the cause of Christ, and the people he's writing to are doing the same. He's assuming that all of them are involved in this, the elect lady and her children, the church that he's writing to and its members, that they're all involved in the work of the gospel and are vitally concerned about the spread of the gospel and the health of the churches. They're all involved with that. And he says, now, look to yourselves that we don't lose all that we have worked for. These churches can be lost. Why? Because many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things that we have worked for. In other words, be on guard that the truth that we have worked so hard to proclaim and the churches that we have worked so hard to establish that are based on that same truth and are now outposts of that truth, look to yourselves that we don't lose what we have worked for and see these churches that we have labored to establish become apostate, become heretical, become weakened by false doctrine, become outposts of error instead of outposts of truth. Look to yourselves that we don't lose the things that we have been working so hard for all these years. We have the privilege in our church of supporting a number of missionaries, and I'm thinking of a particular one who's been very effective and has been used of the Lord to establish a good number of churches. But one of the first ones he established in a country in Africa was lost to apostasy, was lost to error. He no longer has any fellowship with that church. How sad. The church he founded, because of exactly what's being said here. Deceivers came in and swept that church away from a sound Christian foundation. Watch out, it can happen. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.